a lot of ground to cover tonight. We went through last week, besides the introductory subject regarding whether or not and to what extent we're allowed to involve children on any level of Chil Shabbos, which, by the way, just came up this past Shabbos when we were in the country, that there was a mistake somebody had left on some lights where there was a boy's bunk, and we have a little baby, it was the Shiloh Mamish that we just spoke about. So we were dealing with that, and then we spoke, there are going to be, as I said, there are four different areas besides that. Last week we discussed the body of the child, taking care of the body, and we're going to talk now about taking care of the clothing, taking care of the food of the child, and the question of games. And I don't know now if we'll have a chance to get into certain questions of medication, which is really a very large area, a specialized area, regarding certain specific cases where, if God forbid, there's some medical problem that requires certain attention. So Mitzvah will have some of the, we'll try throughout the year to have Shiroma Diffin in Yanim from time to time, and that will be one of the subjects that we're going to have to work with. Okay, so let's talk about now taking care of the clothing of the child. And this sounds like it would be very simple. Actually, it's not. There's not enough time to go through all the reasons for everything, so I'll go through different sections, and there'll be time for questions. Taking care of the clothing of the child is the main rule is that you're not allowed to put any clothing in water, to wash anything with water, or to wipe off stains with water. That's completely forbidden, and that would involve prohibitions from the Torah, not to pour on any water, even the smallest amount, even a tiny little bit on Shabbos on a stain, whether or not the clothing are very dirty, or whether there's just a little spot or anything like that. You're not allowed to use any water, regardless of whether it's a white garment or it's a colored garment. You're not allowed to pour water, but you are allowed if there is some crust or some dirt, if there's something that's on the surface, you would be allowed to peel that off with a scratch, let's say, the scratched off the surface, but not with any liquids, and that includes saliva. That would not be allowed. If, however, you have, there is something material that's made from something synthetic, for instance, there's a plastic sheet or some plastic thing a bib or something like that, then there's no problem at all, and you're allowed to put that in water. You're allowed to take this sink and put it in the sink and spritz water on it to get any dirt off the plastic or the rubber, any synthetic like that. That's fine, but that's only if your intention is to use that on Shabbos. If your intention is to use that particular item, that bib or whatever it might be on Shabbos, or that sheet, whatever, you're allowed to clean it, but you're not allowed to clean it in order to prepare it for after Shabbos. If it's going to be used for after Shabbos, it doesn't have to be that, you know, for sure, but if there's a good possibility you'll use it on Shabbos, then you'd be allowed to clean that, then you would be allowed to clean that synthetic material. A child, that's number one. Number two, a child who made on the floor, so it's permitted to take a shmata. You are allowed to take some sort of a rag or something like that, and to absorb the shmutz, the dirt. If the child has vomited or has made on a couch or on a rug or something like that, you would only be allowed to take a dry rag. You're not allowed to take a wet rag and to start cleaning the rug or to start cleaning the couch with a wet towel. You'd be allowed to take a dry thing to try to clean off some of the surface, but you wouldn't be allowed to take anything wet. Also, something that a lot of women might not realize: you are permitted to take dirty clothing of children, to take their clothing and to throw it into the washing machine. To throw it into the washing machine as storage. In other words, the washing machine can be used as storage space if the poskim say, if you are in the habit of doing that, if you will do that from time to time during the week, if you will sometimes keep things in there and wait to do a laundry later on. If you're the type that you only put things in the machine when you're about to do a wash, then you wouldn't be allowed. But if you get into the habit of occasionally keeping it for storage, then it has been designated also as a storage place for dirty clothing, and you would be allowed to use a washing machine. That of course is under the condition, isn't that? That's the condition, of course, is that there. But there's no water in there. If there's any water in there, you can't throw anything in. But if it's dry inside and you just want to keep some dirty clothing in there, you're perfectly permitted to throw the clothing into the washing machine. Now, there's another possible malacha that people are regularly violating when it comes to little children and their clothing, and that's sorting clothing. There's a malacha, as you know, that one of the 39 malachas is called borer, which means sorting. And here the issue is that if you have different sizes of skirts or different sizes of pants or socks, different matches and underwear and so on, so it is forbidden. If you have a pile of laundry, it is forbidden to sort the laundry on Shabbos and to place the laundry into different piles with different sizes for different children. That's forbidden. And that's a possible prohibition from the Torah. That's a very serious matter. You're not allowed to do that. Therefore, what the Poskim say, what you are allowed to do, is you are allowed to seek, to look for the garment that you need for the child, and you're only allowed to do that if it's time for the child to wear that. You're not allowed to do it, let's say, Friday night to get ready for Shabbos morning. If there's a pile of clothing and you need to find, so obviously you're going to have to look through it to get to it. So you can do that, but you can only do that under the condition that it's samuch l'levishaso, that it's close to the time. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes, but can be, the kid's going to go to shul, or you need the pajamas, but it has to be for that time. It can't be for later on. It has to be samuch next to the time that the child is going to wear. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very strict with this, and he held that even if it's right by the time of dressing the child, you shouldn't go searching at all. You should just lift up and look and to see if it's the right one. And if it's not the right one, then you can put it down and take a different one. But you shouldn't do any searching and sorting whatsoever when it comes to clothing. Just take it until you hit the jackpot. So, and that's again only samuch, only right when it comes to the time, right by the time of the child getting dressed. Another malacha, another common thing that might be involved when it comes to children, is the malacha of kosher, of tying a knot. One of the 39 malachas is kosher. Kosher and its twin is matir, means tying a knot and untying a knot. That, however, does not apply to a bow. So therefore, if you're putting, let's say, some sort of a ribbon on your daughter's hair, something like that on Shabbos, or when it comes to a shoelace, or it comes to a necktie, all of that is okay, as long as it's not what's called in halacha kesher shel kayama, that means the type of a knot that is made to last for more than 24 hours throughout the entire Shabbos, which would be, for instance, a double knot on a shoe. Sometimes the children have very long shoelaces, or there's a lot of extra stuff on the ribbon or the dress that's being tied. So to make a double knot is certainly forbidden on Shabbos, but to make a bow that is only made to last for a short time is okay. You are allowed, let's say, one of our children, the little one, enjoys taking out shoelaces completely from the shoe. So you are allowed to restring a shoe and to insert, once again, the shoelace, but you're not allowed to take a new shoelace and to put it into a shoe in which it was not before. That's a separate problem of completing a kli of a shoe. If it was this shoelace and was taken out, then reinserting it is permitted, but you can't take a new shoelace to put into a shoe on Shabbos. That's, again, something that might not be commonly known, and the halachas of untying are the same. If there's a knot that is a very, very tight knot, it's a knot that would last until after Shabbos, whatever that is, whether it's a jump rope or whether it's something else, you're not allowed to untie that on Shabbos. You just have to leave it. You can't...
A chain?
A chain or anything like that where it's a knot that you really have to work on to get out, and it would stay.
And
the shoe as well. Yeah, if it got into a knot, the shoelace, and it's one of those things that you have to pick at, and it wouldn't go away. It's not loose enough to just sort of, it's made to really. It's a knot that's going to last. You can't untie that on Shabbos. You'd have to wait until after. Okay, those are basic malachas that have to do with clothing. As far as preparing the food of a child. So there are a couple of malachas that would be involved. Obviously, all the regular halachas that are involved in food preparation with the kitchen, with heating up, and all of that, of course, applies to children as well. So let me just talk about certain scenarios that might come up more often with kids. First, one of the 39 malachas is tochen, which means grinding. It's one of the 39 prohibited malachas on Shabbos. This applies to food that is gedulei karka, that means a food that grows from the earth, a natural food, a raw, natural raw food that grows from the earth. So fruits and vegetables and so on that are raw, the halach is that certainly when it comes to adults, you're not allowed to crush them, you're not even supposed to cut them into tiny pieces when it comes to an adult. However, when it comes to a child, the halacha does permit you to cut it into little pieces so that the child won't, God forbid, choke. So you can cut the food into little pieces, but it should be done only samuch l'seuda. That means before the child is going to eat. You cannot just do that earlier in the morning and give it to the child at lunch. You have to do it right before the child eats. And we're talking about cutting into tiny little pieces, not grinding, but cutting into tiny little pieces can be done for the child samuch l'seuda. This, however, is not the same case as crushing, let's say, a banana. To crush a banana, if you have something like that, which is soft, or like a potato, let's say, a banana or a potato, you would like to mash it or to crush it. So there, for adults, it's more of a problem. But for a child, the poskim are lenient that since, again, we're worried about the child's health, so the poskim are lenient that you would be allowed to crush that with a fork, but it has to be done with a shinui. That means it has to be done in an unusual way. So the way to do that, the poskim says, either to use the handle of the fork, or to use the back of the fork if you normally do with the front of the fork, whatever it might be. In other words, to crush the banana or the potato in somewhat of an unusual way, not the way that you would normally do it, not the way you normally do it during the week. This, however, is only this stringency of crushing the potato really would not apply if it's already fully cooked. If it's sort of raw, or if you're dealing with a banana which is raw, but if it's something which is fully cooked and it's already very soft, and there are just a couple of clumps, the little bumps in it, then the poskim are lenient that you're allowed to just crush that, and that's not, in the regular way, that's not a problem. But in general, it's good to get into the habit of the crushing things that fruits or vegetables that you should try to do with somewhat of a shinui, because in a different way, so that you shouldn't forget. Next, the issues that have to do with mevashel, the practical questions that come to cooking with a child. So, for instance, if you have cereals or rice, something like that, that are dry, that were prepared before Shabbos, you are allowed to take the cereal or this rice that's already, these things are already fully cooked. So you're allowed to take the cereal or the rice, and you could take water. You could take water from a kli rishon. That means you could take the kettle off the lach, you could take the kettle off the fire, and you're allowed to pour it into the bowl with the cereal or with the rice in order to heat it up. That certainly is okay. If the cereal is, let's say, it's a liquid cereal of some sort that you want to heat up, so then you'd only be allowed to do that from a kli sheni. In other words, you'd have to take the kettle off the stove, pour it into a cup, into a dry cup, and then take from the cup and pour it into the liquid cereal. If it's a hard, if it's yavesh, if it's dry cereal, a dry rice, which means there could be a drop of liquid in the rice, but if it's for the most part dry, then you could take directly from the blech and pour it into the thing. If it's however liquid, then you would have to first pour it into a kli sheni, and from the kli sheni, you would be allowed to do it. Or you could take this thing and to immerse it into a kli sheni. If you have some sort of a jar or whatever with it in it, you could immerse it into a kli sheni. Yes.
It's cooked.
If it's cooked.
No.
I don't know if it's cooked. I never had oatmeal in my life. I don't know if it's cooked. If it's something which is already cooked. If it's a cereal that's already been cooked. So if it's raw, you can't. No. If it's raw, you don't do it. Only if it's some cereal that's cooked.
Well, I think vegetables and noodles.
You mean there's like dehydrated things?
Yeah, right. That's a good
one. I think those are cooked.
So then that's the oatmeal too, is it?
You would be allowed to do that probably. I don't see why not. Why you wouldn't be allowed to do that?
A
person that's familiar with the food product. I mean, there's a way to know. I'm not a maven in it, but there's a way to know whether something was cooked or not. I don't know for sure whether those soups are cooked. I think they are.
If you can eat it instantly,
you don't have to put it into the microwave. You can just pour boiling water and it's edible. I think those are fully cooked, in which case you can take water from a kli sheni and you would be allowed to make it with a kli sheni. When does this with infants? Yeah, those soups are probably cooked. I mean, those you wouldn't be able to eat it that way. Okay, but this is a question of mitzvahs. Let's not spend time on it. It's just, you know, we could clarify. But if it's cooked, there's no problem. If it's not cooked, it is a problem. Okay. So I don't know how you know those things are cooked. But you could probably, you know, from the reading of the label, it's probably easier to find out. Where does this come up most often with baby formula? The child with baby formula, how to heat up baby formula. So here. Here the key is to put the water first into the bottle. If you want to do it that way, if you're using powder, that powder is of course cooked. The powder of the baby formula. So what you could do is you have some dry bottles ready, And the poskim are not so strict. There's a little bit of water. You don't have to go meshug, you know, inside with a towel or whatever. But if it should be, you know, you should shake it out. It should be dry. And then you would first put the hot water into the bottle, because now the water is a kli sheni. It's a second vessel, right? It's a secondary vessel. And then into that you would put the powder. Or for those who find another way easier, which is the way that we used to do it, is that if you could have the bottle, you could put the bottle into the powder into cold water, and then you would be allowed to take from the boiling water and pour it into something else, into a nagelvasser cup, whatever you like, and then to put the bottle and let it sit in there. You could put the bottle with the cold water and the formula in there, and put it into the cup that has the hot water, which is now sitting in a kli sheni, and you would be allowed, to put it in there to warm it up. You cannot put the bottle, a baby bottle, into a kli rishon. In other words, let's say you have a pot on the blech with boiling water. You cannot put directly on the fire. You cannot put a baby bottle into a pot on the blech. That's putting it into a kli rishon. You could take from the blech, pour it into a kli sheni, into a second kli. And then to take the bottle and to put it with the formula and to immerse it into that to warm it up after a couple of minutes, it gets warm. And those are the two ways to do it. The key thing is to remember to put the water into the hot water into the bottle before you put the powder. That way you have a kli sheni. So you put the water in the bottle, then you put the powder, or you could put, if you have liquid, the liquid concentrate, it's the same thing. Just pour the hot water in first. And then you have a kli sheni. Then you pour the liquid formula or concentrate into the water, and you're all set. Okay, that's in terms of preparing a baby bottle.
A bottle from the fridge. Just leave it out, let it get room temperature, and then you can do that. Or can you put it into a kli sheni?
Sure.
Yeah. Right from the fridge.
Yeah. You can put it. You can take it out from the fridge. Take the kettle, pour the kettle into a kli sheni, put the bottle in, it'll take the coldness away. That's perfectly okay.
What about pulling the bottle off? You can do it the opposite way.
It's too hot.
Water. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's not a problem. To put it into cold water?
Not a problem at all.
No, it's fine. Okay.
Can you even just run that under cold water
from the tablet? Yeah, sure. You can run under cold water if you're in a hurry or something. That's no problem. You can do that. It's no problem at all. favorite subject, and one that's actually that could become quite involved is the subject of toys, of games on Shabbos, and this is all different types of toys. This really is quite a this is quite an involved subject. Baruch Hashem. There are a couple of malachas, there are a couple of daraisas, things that are forbidden from the Torah, and things that are forbidden from the Chachamim that would be involved. That could potentially be involved with children's games. And again, when we're speaking about children's games, most of these games, as you will see, are only when they are permitted. They're permitted for children that are less than bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah. Certainly, it is not permitted to have bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah children playing certain types of games, which I'll show you. There's some distinctions that are to be made. But for the most part, these kulas, these leniencies, are only for small children. First, let's deal with the subject of hashmas kol. That means toys that make noise. This is dealt with already in Shulchan Aruch. This apparently is not something which just came up in recent history. It seems that children and little babies also always like rattles and so on to calm them down. So there's a halacha. You know, you're not allowed to be mashmia kol on Shabbos. You're not allowed to intentionally to create noise with an artificial instrument to create some noise on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. That involves many problems for adults as well. Even those who grew up in the yeshiva, you have some of the guys in the yeshiva that they were masters at using forks and spoons during smears. That's a real problem in halacha, and there are other problems that are involved in these things as well with adults. But we're going to talk to concentrate on what's nogei, what affects children. So, for instance, bells, rashonim, which means like a grogger, things that are made, rattles to make noise, whistles, and all of these things. These are all categorized in halacha as kelim shemalachtam le'isr. That means that they are forbidden to be used on Shabbos, and therefore they are mukta. Not only can they not be used, but they shouldn't be moved. They are mukta. Although one is allowed to whistle with one's mouth, if necessary, and the poskim are not strict with whistling with one's mouth. Again, not in a crude and unpleasant way, but if it's necessary, for instance, to whistle a lullaby to a child, if it calms a baby down, or to whistle something, that's permitted. But to use instruments and so on Shabbos that make noise, toys that make noise, that's not allowed. But here it's an interesting, here let's learn, there's an interesting distinction that's made amongst the, that we find in the poskim. You know that you have, a certain, what's it called that they put over the baby's crib, a mobile? That usually, I'm not talking about a winding up or electric or anything like that, but if this just, you know, makes a nice sound, like or on the carriage when you move, it makes a certain kind of a sound. So the poskim there, interestingly enough, based upon the ruling of the Chafetz Chaim, the poskim are lenient, and they say that since the real purpose of this toy is not just for the sake of making noise, but they are created in order to develop the sight or the attentiveness of the child. So the poskim say that it's not the main purpose of that mobile is not for making noise, but it's to get the child's attention and to develop the child's awareness. And as a result of that, the poskim say that you are allowed to have those over the crib on Shabbos or on a baby carriage, and you're allowed to go with that on Shabbos where there's an Erev, and it wouldn't be a problem. You are also allowed an adult, if a child is very upset and wants a certain toy, a rattle, or a toy that makes noise, not electric, but a toy that makes noise, so the poskim say that an adult would be allowed to give it to the child. If the baby is calmed down, if the baby is very upset, you would be allowed to give it, even though just time for yourself, if it's muktzah, you shouldn't be moving it, but if the baby is very upset and you feel that it will calm the baby down, the poskim say you're allowed to give it to the child. You can't go, here you go, and shake it. You can't make the noise, but you can hand it over to the child, and the child can play with it. That, in that respect, the poskim are lenient. This is really dealing more with smaller children, but from whatever, because if it's a child already, that's 4 or 5 years old, you should be saying, no, we don't play with that on Shabbos.
Right, but what about
In other words, if the child doesn't chop, the child doesn't understand, they just wants to have a good time, and you don't say anything, and the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says, it sounds like what he's saying in the Bir Halacha is that if the baby is really upset, and the only way you know to calm the child down, there's a certain toy that the baby loves, or a little doll, and if you shake it, it makes a certain noise. So then, the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim was lenient. The Chafetz Chaim was lenient because he says your intention there is not to make noise, your intention is to calm down the child, and if you feel that the child would really benefit and really could use a little bit of that calming effect, so then the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim is lenient and would allow that to be. Allowed to be used, but you should do it in a different way. Some slightly different way, but you would be allowed to do it. But in general, you should try to avoid using toys that make sounds, that make noise. Now, what about, yes, Avigal?
You said on the stroller, like if there's not a rattle on the stroller, they have these things in front, that's not a problem at all? Like, it makes noise, like, let's say, if you're going on a bump like Europe?
Yeah, it's not really a problem. I mean, some people might stop you and say, you can't do that, but the truth is the postcom are not strict. Because again, the intention is really to get the child's alertness going. But so the poskim are lenient. Unless you have to do it, you know, because people might not understand, they may not know, but there's really no problem with it. Yes.
Why do you absolutely
not? No, you can't round up toys. No. Balls, ball playing. The poskim are generally lenient, and they're allowing children to play with small little non-inflatable balls on Shabbos. The kind like we used to call Spaldings or fancy pinkies. I don't know if people don't use that. No, that's out, huh? So or ping pong balls, things like that. Hey, how you doing? Those kind of balls are allowed to. You're allowed to play with the children. The children are allowed to play with on Shabbos. There are some poskim who are strict and said it's not a good idea because the child, not because there's any malacha, but the child might get into the habit and get involved in that and would get used to it and so on. But really, according to halacha, these small types of balls that are not inflatable, children under bar mitzvah, under bas mitzvah, would be allowed to play with. However, balls that are inflated, that require inflating, such as basketballs or footballs and so on, those balls are muktzah on Shabbos. Not only are you not allowed to play with them, they're muktzah on Shabbos. They're not allowed to be moved, they're not allowed to be played with, and certainly they can't be used on Shabbos. If a little child finds one and plays with it, you don't make a big deal. that one should know that the child's bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, they're not allowed to play with the basketball, they're not allowed to play with the football or a dodgeball and so on, if it's inflatable. The reason for an inflatable, the strictness for an inflatable ball is because there's a very, very serious concern that there's going to take, that what will take place, which is an activity on Shabbos is called tikkun. That means that these balls sometimes require inflating, right? You have to fix them. And inflating a ball that's lost air would be a problem on Shabbos. So therefore, this is not forbidden from the Torah, certainly not from the Torah, but the Chachamim was strict that in the case of something that requires inflating, that it should not be used on Shabbos. And you're not allowed to move them at all on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. That's something that one should be strict with the bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah children, that they shouldn't play with those kinds of balls on Shabbos. There's nobody that's lenient in that respect. There is no heter to do that.
But even an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old could very well understand that.
It's probably good to start talking to a child that's already 8-9 years old. I would say it's a good idea to start to talk to them about this is not, maybe to try to play with stuff with a different kind of ball. Right? You should begin to educate.
Oh, that by the time they get the permit, they say, "Well, you can no longer do this." However, it was acceptable before
then,
so I just think that...
It's definitely wiser. I think children understand that something happens with the bar mitzvah, they could tell from the catering and roasting. Something's happened, something serious has taken place. But I honestly never let the children from... I never let them play with inflatable balls from the time that they were little. You're right, in other words, they know it's not. They know it's not. But don't think that there's only problem that we might have here in Yerushalayim. I've seen fathers screaming at their kids to put their ball away and so on. This is a common, therefore, it's probably wise from an early age to that the children should understand that they don't use that. But I'm just saying, Rabbi Halacha, it's not, the poskim are not strict.
So when it comes to the ball, you have to look to see if it's the type that has that.
Yeah, that has a pin. So if you have one of those, let's say, one of these plastic balls that are completely closed, the little ones like the little ones knock around, it's completely closed. So those are fine. It's not inflatable. That's just you can't fix it. There's nothing you can do to it. I'm talking about the ones where you put in the pin. Right. If you'd want to inflate. So a lot of the balls don't come up. Or a beach ball, for instance. You're not allowed to use a beach ball on Shabbos. I mean, these balloons are mutz on Shabbos. If you go to bar mitzvahs, you'll see people with balloons and growing it here. All right, you can have them set up before Shabbos. You can have balloons on the table before Shabbos, but you can't move balloons around on Shabbos. Well, balloons are mutz on Shabbos. And that's something also that's commonly overlooked.
What about inflatable toys? They now have these inflatable pieces of furniture. And
right. If they're the kinds of things that are made to last, that stay like that, and only require after 2-3 days, so that they might not require. They can stay like that for long times. In the poskim are generally lean. They have mattresses like that now. They have all, they have many things that are used that are done in such a way, and it's not the kind of thing that would be easily inflated. So the attitude of a child would be, "Oh, forget it." If something happened to it, we'll have to do it after Shabbos. So those you could be leaning, child could be leaning with those larger things that are inflated. Another popular thing that I was thinking, I was just trying to think what the kids like to do. So another thing that the kids like to do, especially girls probably, I don't think boys get into this, but that's albums, pictures. Mm-hmm. Albums, that's a big thing. So it is permitted to set up a picture album, to put pictures into the album on Shabbos, if they're not the kind that have to, I don't see this kind anymore, that have to be glued in or stuck. Now you don't really have those anymore. It used to be, but now they don't make them like that. But here, the reason that I'm bringing this up, it sounds like it's so obvious, why can't you put pictures in the album? Here you have to be careful with borrower, with sorting. Here's a problem with sorting. In other words, the child can be told, "You want to have a good time, sweetheart, you can put the pictures into the album, make out." But if you start to take out, this is Moshe, this is Yankel, this is Yechavel, you start to, it's a problem. Okay, that's Berger. In other words, sorting according to chronology. This is when she was 2, this is when she was 3. Making...
I'm on one page.
Right, this kid's on this page, the kid's on another page, and this type of picture, that type of picture. So there could be a problem of Berger. There could be a problem of sorting. So if the child just likes to open up the album to put in pictures from a pile, just to put them in, without going through and making and sorting, then it would be okay. But the child should be told that you cannot sort out and make specialized pages. In the album, you could just have fun and then set it up in a proper way after Shabbos, and that's the problem of Borah. That's a very serious problem. You have to take care of that. This is something that when I was a kid was very popular. I don't think that Nowadays, this just seems like too much trouble for the children nowadays. But we used to really, really be, we used to like to make these different kinds of models. But we used to have these plastic models, and we would build these models that were made to last. These weren't just for, like, puzzles, which I'll talk about in a second. These models were made to last. So any kind of plaster or models or things like any type of sculpturing or clay or Play-Doh, things like that, and making shapes and forms with the Play-Doh and so on, that's not something that's permitted on Shabbos. Games with springs, like rope, toy robots or toy cars and things like this that work with springs. So many poskim are lenient to let the children use these games that are not electric, but they not winding up, but things that like have springs in them and that zoom and so on with the cars, that it would be allowed. One of the greatest poskim of our time is Rabbi Yoshev, you should be aware, he's strict with these types of toys, that nothing should be used with springs. All of the poskim, however, are strict if it's the kind of a toy that would cause there to be sparks. Which if you look like with these toy cars, when you make with the wheels, it's one of the greatest pleasures that the child has, is seeing how it can make little sparks. Then that's a real problem. That's a serious problem that can't be used on Shabbos. Okay, now climbing and on trees and so on. It's forbidden. It's forbidden to climb a tree on Shabbos. That's a prohibition from the Chacham, that one is not allowed to climb on a tree on Shabbos for fear, or to use the tree in any way on Shabbos, or even to lean on a tree on Shabbos. Adults should know that, because there is a fear that you might pick something off, a leaf or a fruit or something like that. So that's forbidden from the Chacham. You're not allowed to climb a tree or to lean on a tree on Shabbos. Not only that, but a child is also not allowed to climb, or an adult if you like to do that, would not be allowed to climb on a ladder that's leaning up against a tree. You're also not, so like a tree house, something like that. I never actually saw one of those, just like in cartoons and things, but I suppose they do exist. So it always seemed too scary to me. But if that idea of a treehouse, of having a ladder and building something on a tree and the kids playing on a tree, that's certainly not acceptable according to halacha. Also, a swing cannot be put directly onto a tree. A swing cannot be put directly onto a tree. Now here, there is a very simple thing to do. According to halacha, you are allowed, let's say, to take a peg and to put it in the tree and to hang the swing on the peg, or a hammock, for instance. You can't tie it around the tree, but you are allowed to put a peg into the tree and then to tie the hammock or to tie the swing around the moat, around that peg that is in the tree, as long as the tree is strong enough that when a child goes on it, it doesn't cause the whole thing to swing. It might shake it a drop, that's okay, but the actual tree is steady. But if the whole tree is going to move, it's probably dangerous anyway to use, but then it would not be allowed. But if the tree is steady, you would be allowed to use it as long as it's not tied directly onto the tree. No climbing on a tree, no leaning on a tree, no playing on a tree, and a swing that's connected to something that's connected to the tree. That's in the tree, but not on the branch itself. That's a problem. Bicycles. The poskim are lenient with tricycles, with three wheels. The reason that they're lenient with that is because the poskim say that it's quite obvious that this is not a means of transportation. This is simply a toy, and it's made for children, and therefore, one does not have to prevent. Does not have to prevent the child from riding on it. In the poskim, even if it's, let's say, two wheels, a little bike, a little teeny thing with training wheels, that's also allowed. That's not viewed as a type of transportation, which would be not Shabbos dik. There is a great Sephardi posek who allows bicycle riding in general on Shabbos, the Ben Ish Chai, who wrote the Tshuva and the Rav poem that caused a lot of people to wonder. But since he is such a great posek. Amongst the Svardim, perhaps, there would be room to be lenient, although it must be said that the other Svardim are supposed to disagree, but because of the great respect that they have for the Ben Ish Chai, it would be hard to say that if a Svardi was riding a bicycle on Shabbos, he's Michal Shabbos, because they could rely upon the Ben Ish Chai. That's as far as Svardim are concerned. And even the Svardim that are B'nai Torah are afraid of that kula, that leniency of the Ben Ish Chai Ashkenazim, for sure, adults are not allowed to ride bicycles, even children, when the bicycles are already, bicycles that are serious bicycles, and they're kids that are already riding the bicycles around, not just like a little toy, you know, right around the place, but they're really zooming around, that is certainly forbidden. That's certainly forbidden on Shabbos, even if it's a child's bicycle, but it's a bicycle that the child will use to transport himself as opposed to the little ones who are just playing. So that's the distinction. How do you know at what age exactly? It's hard to tell. Here is something where it's probably better from an early age to get them used to that as well. When I say early, I don't mean 2-3 years old, but when they're already 5-6 years old, they shouldn't be going on. 7 years old, they shouldn't be going on a bicycle, because they see this on as something which doesn't look Shabbos-like to them. They understand by that age that bicycles are not Shabbos-like. The little ones on tricycles, you certainly don't have to. Well, the high wheelers that they like to ride around, you know, if you go to a bungalow colony in Shabbos, there's my machine, you know, traffic jams all over for the kids. You have to be careful. So that certainly is no reason. There's no reason to be strict with that. The same goes for roller skates or roller blades. Same halachas would apply. As long as the children are little, they are allowed to use the rollerblades. Here's the difference between whether it's just to roll around a little bit and to play, or the kid is the type that's using it as a means of transportation, which we know that this comes to a certain age where there is more of a mature view of how they're to be used, and in that case, then the child should no longer be using the rollerblades. But little ones can put on those roller skates and can roll around. There's no problem. Legos. Now, you know Legos. It's a great thing. Legos are a great thing. So, you know, with Legos, the poskim are generally lenient to use these. In the Eretz Yisrael, they're called Avnei Pella, wonder blocks. So the Avnei Pella, the Legos, are permitted to use on Shabbos, since these things are not fastened together in a way that they're meant to stay. If they would be meant to be permanent, then there would be a chash, there would be a problem of bone of building on Shabbos. However, if we're dealing with the type of a child and the type of construction of Legos that is meant to be serious and permanent and to be put on display, then that's something that should not be done on Shabbos. The Legos can be used if the kid likes to build things and then they mess it up and they build them and mess it up, even if it's not going to be messed up on Shabbos. But the normal way of using it is to put things together and take it apart. In other words, they usually keep a big box with all the pieces in it. They don't save their stuff. I have my niece. I think she has like a whole collection. She loves making these. She keeps them. But usually the children take them apart. In which case it's allowed, and there's no problem of bona. That's from the Chofetz Chaim, based upon a Bir Halacha, in his Bir Halacha, based upon a psak of the Ravid. Paper airplanes, paper, you know, making shapes and forms with paper on Shabbos. Again, I don't know if that's so popular anymore, but that's not allowed on Shabbos. The poskim are stricter with this. This is ka'os a kli. It's like making a kli. They're stricter with this than they are with the Legos, because Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that adults also will engage in this to make, let's say, very attractive shapes with napkins and so on. That could be a problem. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. There was a great posek, a Hungarian posek, who died a few years ago, the Bar Moshe, the Debrett Sina Rav, the Debrett Sina Rav was completely lenient with making shapes with napkins and making fancy designs in the napkins and paper things. He was completely lenient. So there is a difference of opinion, and the Debrett Sina Rav is a great posek, and certainly you can be lenient. You can be lenient to make those kinds of napkins and so on Shabbos, and the children can do that as well. Making necklaces. Stringing, is that what they're called? You know, putting these little things onto the necklace. In general, that's found in the Gemara, that you're not allowed to make a necklace on Shabbos. You're not allowed to take the pearls and to string the pearls on Shabbos. However, when it comes to the little children who use these little tiny plastic things, and these are not made to be permanent, I don't think so. They take them apart, put them together, that's okay. However, you do have to be careful if the child wants you to tie a knot at the end. But it should stay. You can't tie a serious knot on the end of the string to make a necklace that would last. So they're allowed to make these little toy necklaces, but then you're not allowed to tie them and make them permanent. They have to be just played with, but they can't be used in any permanent way. Puzzles and Scrabble. So here the distinction with Scrabble, it's very interesting because you see Chubas like in Rav Moshe Feinstein, where he writes about Scrabble, and he certainly the postman is very familiar with that game. Scrabble is okay. It's permitted as long, and so are puzzles, as long as it's not the kind of a Scrabble that where the letters are inserted. They made like a deluxe Scrabble. In other words, the regular Scrabble, and they made a deluxe Scrabble. The regular Scrabble we all grew up with, you just put on the board, and anytime somebody moves, or else there's a scream because the whole thing got messed up. So then they came out with something chashuv. They made a Scrabble that has little boxes for each letter, and you can put the letters in this day. So Rav Moshe and other poskim are strict when it comes to those deluxe Scrabbles that stay inside. Same thing, they were strict with puzzles that are meant to stay inside. Just the regular puzzles are okay. So that's the distinction that the post can make between different types of Scrabble. But here there's another problem, and this involves board games in general where points are being kept. If points are being kept, then the post can, even though as kids we used to take books and we used to always fold the page over, it was like this whole, you know, to keep score, we used to just the page number. But the truth of the matter is that the postgame do not permit board games that require point keeping. But that's the kid. What the kids will always do is to keep score. If they want to play without keeping score, that's fine. But if they want to keep score, there's a gzeira, the chacham are afraid that somebody might forget and write down the score. This makes no difference if you set up, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica next to you, you know, to use the pages. If you're going to write, if it's normally written down, the postgame do not want you to play that game and keep score in Shabbos. If you're not going to keep score and you stop playing for fun, that would be okay. That's one problem that comes around with one second with board games. The other is the use of board games that have play money. So many of the poskim are upset about that, which would mean that I think most of the Shabbos in my growing up were in vain, or would cause the poskim to be upset because we used to have these huge Monopoly tournaments, those long Shabbos afternoons, the guys. But most poskim are not happy with money games on Shabbos. They feel the whole thing is Mecca Chomenko is talking in a business-like way, even little children to get the habit of handling the play money. And they didn't come out right and say that it's forbidden. But there are two great poskim who both of whom recently left this world, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zechut Zadavracha, and from the Sradim, the great poskim, Ben Sion Abba Shaul, that both of them said that that's really ridiculous. You don't have to be strict at all. The kids can play with paper money. And they were completely lenient, and they were very great poskim. So if they want to play, so it wouldn't make a big deal. In general, I in the house, I never felt comfortable with that they should play with money, play money on Shabbos. But there are poskim who permit it and it would be allowed. Well, but they take them apart. But they take them apart. I'm talking about the fancy, the real chashuv puzzles where people will put them in a frame. You know, they'll keep it in a frame. No, they make very nice. Where once you do it, you want it to stay, and it's kept in a misgeret. And but the children's ones are meant to put together and take apart.
That's not. So that's not on their intention.
It has a lot to do with the intention. Correct. Yeah, I know. I have a battleship. You see, with all these games, let me just remind you: you have to be careful. Always to be careful with Borea, right? I should just repeat, but meaning sorting. You have to always be careful. So when it comes to battleship, you have to try to guess right. You put the boats. You put into one of those little pegs. So if you're not keeping score, yeah, I don't think there's any problem. They made to put in and take out. I don't think there's any problem with that. With the battleship. I don't see why there'd be a problem in Shabbos.
I guess you should mention that when you put away the
Menachim. Oh, I'm going to talk about that in a second with chess and checkers. I'm going to talk about that. Yes, we anyway. Now, this is what was just mentioned is that in terms of putting things away. So, for instance, chess and checkers are allowed to be played on Shabbos, but you have to be careful that when you're putting the pieces away, you don't sort them. Same thing with Monopoly money, for instance, or any game. So the Monopoly, when you finish, so then you want to put the... You have to put the hundreds and the 50s and the 20s, the 10s, and so on. You want to make it nice and masuda to put it back properly. You can't do that on Shabbos. You can't sort. Or the chess or checkers, the red and the black pieces, to start sorting and to put into certain boxes or certain, you know, to put away. So you just have to sort of, you know, throw things in indiscriminately into places we have in the box to put it away or into a bag. You can't put things. Into any specific order, unless you're going to play immediately again. Which means, let's say you're playing chess and you want to play a second game of checkers. Then you could divide the pieces up, and here's the black and here's the red, or the black and the white. You could do that. But if it's a question of putting away the game, you can't start being misadu everything to put into order, because that would violate the problem of borrow of sorting. So you have to be careful when the games are put away. This is just any, I mean, I don't think we ever had a chashash that our children will put a game away. I don't know about you. I mean, you usually don't have to worry about the children putting away games on Shabbos. So then the adults have to be careful what they do as far as what they... the children are usually very machmir with all these things. Right. Well, so, another thing is that this would be more... more what boys would prefer to do on Shabbos. It's having races. We used to have big racing things going on in the back of shul on Shabbos when we were kids, and that was a very favorite pastime. Also to have this Ben Shabbos. The kids are allowed to have races on Shabbos. They're allowed to run and so on, to play tag. They're allowed to, again, I'm talking under 13 and under 12 for a girl. I'm not talking about bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. Certainly should not be having races and should not be having these kind of competitions and so on. Children are hyped, they'll run around a little bit, but they should not be having races and competition and so on Shabbos. And as far as exercise is concerned, this is for an adult as well, exercise is forbidden on Shabbos. Exercise for medical purposes or for losing weight, let's say, or for staying in shape, that's not allowed. That's not allowed on Shabbos. If the doctor said that, if the doctor told you that you better lose a couple of pounds, you God forbid, you're in danger, or you need to exercise, or the physical therapy, some sort of, unless it would alleviate some sort of danger, but I don't remember hearing that would be the case. No, you can't exercise for medical purposes or for losing weight on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach allows exercise if you just enjoy it. You enjoy. In other words, you want to walk a lot.
Right.
So somebody, you want to go for a long walk. So some people might say, I'm not doing this to lose weight, and I'm not. It doesn't mean that you might have a secondary intention that you'll be in good shape. You know, you want to get into good. But you really have to take. You like to walk. You like to walk. But jogging, jogging is not something which one should do on Shabbos. It's not proper. But if it's a question of, let's say, certain, let's say, sit-ups or whatever it might be, if it's just a question of enjoyment and feeling good, so Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was lenient. In general, though, one should avoid any regimen of exercises on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make snowballs. You're not allowed to make snowballs on Shabbos, or snowmen, or snow women. So you're not allowed to make snowmen on Shabbos. The Rambam, we see this from the Rambam, who speaks about taking clumps, let's say, of earth and joining one to the other to build something that's domel abinyan, that falls under the category of creating some sort of it's similar to building something. Even though snow itself is not muktzah, that means if there's snow, you would be allowed to kick it out of the way, to move it out of the way, especially if you're afraid, God forbid, of somebody slipping. One should not shovel the snow on Shabbos unless there's real danger to an older person or to a child, in which case you certainly can move the snow aside. But the snow is not so much a problem of muktzah, even if it fell on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to make, the kids are not allowed to make snowballs out, snowball fights, and to build snowmen, they certainly cannot do. Yeah.
With playing games on Shabbos, can you change the child below bar mitzvah age to wear something more casual?
Children should be taught from I don't know exactly from what age. It's hard to say, but they should wear Shabbos clothing unless they're just in the house and they're confined to the maybe then. But certainly, if children go out on the street on Shabbos, they should wear Shabbos clothing. They should not wear jeans or sneakers and something which is a terrible
shorts.
You know, if it's a younger child and it's very warm, so to wear even the shorts should be more dressy, not like shlimpy, not a weekday type of thing, but something that the kid should feel. It's very important that the child, it's not so much a question of halacha, the child should know.
Right.
He has Shabbos shorts.
Right.
No, the Shabbos dick, it's not stam. This is a terrible thing which I speak about it in shul, and it's something which causes me such aggravation. You see people that are that they wear yarmulkes, they'll go play in the ball field with kids wearing vachadika weekday clothing. It's completely, completely unacceptable. I'm not sure what they think the children are thinking. I'm not sure they're thinking about what damage they're doing to the sanctity of Shabbos, to the kedusha of Shabbos in the eyes of a child. So I think more for chinuch purposes, you should try to be careful. Not that the kids should be very uncomfortable, but children should know Shabbos, they have to dress Shabbos. They should go on the Shabbos to go by. I think that's right. I think it's very, very important to feel the sense of Shabbos. They should know that. Little children, if it's already an older kid, you can use a wooden bottle with the little plastic things. That's okay. That's fine. One last thing is that on Shabbos that you're not allowed to draw lots. You know, those gorillas are forbidden to draw lots not choosing, but like let's say to draw sticks or something like that. The chachamim were strict that's a weekday type of behavior, and one should not engage in that type of behavior on Shabbos. Okay, are there any questions? It's already late, so just let me the questions. Yes, Dave.
To age, can you play chess as well?
Chess is a rubbish game. The rabbis used to play. You could play chess on Shabbos, and chess is even over the mitzvah. Yeah, but it should. You know, within. But chess was seen as a game that sharpens the mind, and among the tzaddikim, it was considered to be a certain kind of an onik Shabbos. In my house, my father every Friday night we played the second thing, that we played chess and. It was something that was known as an onik Shabbos, that was for sharpening the mind. Again, that's within reason. It doesn't mean to sit all day and to play chess, but it certainly is allowed. Races and running games and so on with children that are already over bar mitzvah and over bas mitzvah is not preferable. But it's not preferable. It means that it's not kedai to make a whole tumult about. You understand? It's very hard to judge these things. It's better not to. There's a difference between an organized, you know, like a whole race, and kids are running around, you know, thing. I don't know if I'd make such a big deal about it. You know, we have to be very, very careful here. Even though, you know, when it comes to how tightly we hold on to the kids, we have to be careful not to make things impossible. And God forbid a child feels that Shabbos becomes so burdensome. So you might have been careful with one machlokis between poskim that you were strict, but the child could feel a certain decoyment, a certain depression, or feel oppressed by Shabbos. And it's a little bit, we have to be careful the child shouldn't feel oppressed. So even if a child runs around, I don't say, but like I made a thing, for instance, you know, I said that the boys absolutely cannot play ball in the street on Shabbos or anything like that. So you have to try to do that. You have to try to stop. But if they're going to run around and, you know, tag and ready to hide or something like that, I wouldn't make a big deal about it. I'd just look the other way nowadays. It's not good. You know, there are two things. It would not involve a melacha per se. It would not involve a melacha. Again, it might make a difference in certain games where points are kept or something like that. That would be the same issue. And you have the same issue of sorting. That's very common in card games, right? Card games are okay. But a lot of card games, the whole game is to be able to make pairs and to make matches. I mean, the whole game is sorting, right? I don't even know if I can think. I don't know if you can think of a game that's not like that. I mean, that's mostly what the card games are about. But it's not Shabbos. It's not the ruach of Shabbos. It's not the ruach. It's a certain bittel. Besides, it's bittel Torah and it's bittel for an adult. It's a bittel zman of Shabbos. So I'm not saying it's usher. It's forbidden. Although again, I don't know what games there are that wouldn't be a problem with Boer. Most card games are made for that. But it's not in the ruach of Shabbos for an adult. Little children playing card games. You know, I'm concerned that there could be real problems with Boer with playing cards. With it. It's really better to put away cards on Shabbos. It's really better. There's just so many. You could have a catch with them. You could, you know. What the parent can do with a child?
Yeah.
Oh, with a parent. Okay, so then, you know, if it's in the house and it's rolling the ball, playing with the little ones. So okay, that's fine. Or even if it's a type of a board game like Scrabble or something like that where it does not involve, or as I said, with money, even with the money games, they're post-game more lenient and so on. You know, there are those kind of games. Lotto, I don't remember Lotto. Oh, Lotto, you mean all the matches? Oh, matches on Shabbos, the matching on Shabbos. Right, it's haphazard. It's haphazard. Well, let me think. What you're doing basically is you're trying to find a match. you're not putting any of the ones that you don't want aside. You just turn them over, and if it's the right one, then you're happy. You made a match. Yeah, you just throw them down randomly. You mix them all up, and you just, I don't know, matching. You're not really Boer when you match. I think the matching games are okay. You're not really Boer when you match. A lot of the matching games, I think, were okay. That's memory. I think that's the same thing. Yeah. Adults, you can allow the little ones to blow bubbles on Shabbos, but adults should not do it for the kids. But the little ones can do it. Under bar mitzvah, under bas mitzvah, you can let them blow bubbles. Okay. You see, the games is a serious business thing. Okay. I think that's it for the meantime, and then.